Thank you all for coming, and hopefully it'll work for everybody to get lunch. If not, we'd be welcome to stay around and stand around the corners on the walls, and we could reuse those tickets next month if you'd like. Can you just show of hands if somebody has some empty chairs at their table so we can make sure we utilize all of that? And we've got three or four right up in the front here as well. Okay, thank you. And we've asked Dave McIver to lead us in prayer. So Dave, if you would, we'd appreciate that very much.
It's an honor to pray and to ask God to bless Al Linder as he speaks. Al changed my life. When I was just a young guy, I didn't really have a relationship with my dad. And my dad got frustrated with fishing, basically gave up on it. And then one day he bought something called a Lindy rig, and he got excited about fishing, and we got a relationship sitting in a boat on Lake Reno and Lake Minnewaska and Area Lake, where they were always biting. And Al, I want to thank you. There's something about getting your dad back that you never forget. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for the gift of fathers and sons and the gift of families in this room and for the gift of your presence, the gift of your son, that you sent your son to give his life. And he humbled himself and he came and he was born in that stable. And he obeyed you and loved you and gave his life on the cross. And today we honor Jesus. And we honor what you did in Al's life when you reached in and you found him and you rescued him. And today we get to hear the story of what you've done through a man who loves you and loves to fish for men and women. So God, bless this food. And even if there's not quite enough today, it's going to remind us of the people who don't know you and are hungry for you. And today we would take that and we would march out of here looking for the ones who are hungry to know you in a personal way. So we bless this meal and we bless our time together. Anoint our servant, our guest today. Anoint Al with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Thank you, David. I have a couple of announcements. First, I would like to, and please just keep getting that line taken care of, and everybody will get an opportunity to eat. Craig, we're hoping that there's enough for all of us. I would like to thank Dave and Carolyn Compton, who provided the entertainment and the music for us, the clarinet, so if we could give them a round of applause. Couple of announcements, and then we're going to turn it over to Mr. Linder. Our next Faith at Work is Friday, January 19th. Hopefully in 2018, we will all have that on our calendars, that the third Friday of every month is a Faith at Work luncheon. And we just are excited about the opportunity to provide that. And it will be right here at the Broadway Ballroom. Our speaker will be Dale Witherington, who is a passionate follower of Christ, driven to partner with fellow believers for one purpose, to restore righteousness in the state of Minnesota through spiritual and civil transformation based on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, tickets are still available for the movie Star. How many have seen the movie, by the way? Awesome movie, great. Which has been extended through December 19th. And the Unity Foundation is really, really pleased to help provide tickets at a discounted rate, $2, for families that normally wouldn't have the opportunity to provide a movie experience for their children. So we're really happy to provide that opportunity. If you want to receive updates about the Unity Foundation events and the sponsored movies, there is a sign-up at each and every table. And if you've missed past luncheons and would like to hear the message, they are on our website, www.unityfoundation.alexandria.com. This address is also on the pens at your table, and feel free to please take one. And now, Al Linder. Al's a sportsman, television and radio personality, and fishing industry innovator who has invented, along with his older brother, Ron, Many fishing lures and rigs, including the Linda rig, which has transformed lives, right, Dave? And has been used by tens of millions of anglers to catch walleye. Al also co-owns Linder Media Productions, which specializes in producing educational fishing programs such as Angling Edge and Fishing Edge, DVDs, videos, national TV commercials, and more. Al has been inducted into three Fishing Hall of Fames, and the Lindy Rig was featured in the Minnesota State Historical Society's 2008 list of Minnesota's 150, the people, places, and things that shape our state. Please help me in welcoming, giving a great Alexandria welcome to Mr. Al Linder.
Wow, wow. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow, what a turnout. Wow, wow, wow. So I can't echo it enough. I just praise God for the opportunity to be here. I want to take a moment to thank the Unity Foundation for the opportunity to be here. I talked to, who was that guy? He says, I'm the one that suggested you come here. He was here. I just seen him. He's right there. There he is from Cyrus Resort. Thank you. Thank you. The Lord laid something on your heart, and we're going to see some fruit from it today. I also want to thank all of you sincerely for taking the time to come and join us today and listen to some things that have impacted my life in so many different ways. And, you know, time is such a valuable, valuable thing, especially this time of the year. Yeah, you know, I doubt that there's anybody here that says, I have more than enough time. You need a little more time in your life, especially this time of the year. I'm sure we all nod our head. I wish I had a little more time. Well, my prayer is that when you walk out these doors today, you're going to be able to look at whoever you came here with and say, hey, that was time well spent. That's my prayer. Yeah, you know, I was listening to that introduction, and you flash back. It's not working. All right, not loud enough. Where's that hand mic? All right, we'll go with a hand mic. I can do that. I know that one was working. I'm going to give you this one. I bet you that's a lot better, isn't it? Find yourself. Find that in there. All right, I know that one's working. I hear it really good. You know, I've been fortunate enough to make my living in a fishing industry pretty much my entire life. I've never, with the exception of working for Uncle Sam for a couple years, and I'm going to share a story there, everything else has been revolved around the fishing industry in some way, shape, or form. I'm going to run you through my life. I'm going to share my testimony with you on my adventure, and I like to call our gift of life an adventure to me because that's what it is. And there's so many times we get the forks in the road, and you have to make life-changing decisions. And at the time, you don't know the impact that it's going to be until you can look further on down the line and look back and say, praise God for that decision. That in our winter trade. Sometimes they're bad decisions. You know the consequences there. I'm going to share some of the decisions that impacted my life, my family's life, business, reason why I'm here today. You know, you can all tell, people tell me I never lost my Chicago accent. I've got Ron Shero, a longtime friend of mine who you all know. He says that he calls it Chicagoese. We go way back. Ron had done our first major story on a Lindy rig like 40-something years ago that helped launch our career here in Minnesota. You know, going back, I was born and raised on the streets of Chicago. I grew up in a middle-class family. My mom and dad both were factory workers, worked hard, loved the Lord. There was no question in my life that they loved each other. There was never a question in my life that they loved my brother and I, that they wanted the best for us, cared about us, the love was always there, encouraged us to be in church on a regular basis like they were. However, I had no interest in the things of God at that point. None whatsoever. I was obsessed with fishing. Anything to do with fishing. My parents, my brother, who is 10 years my senior, and my closest friend. And it said from the time I was 4 or 5 years old, they seen something there that was out of the ordinary. It wasn't just the fascination with fish. They said it was way beyond that. And they sensed it and they seen it. My parents would send me up to my grandmother's cabin. I would spend my summer vacations from the time I was about 5 years old with my grandmother in Hayward, Wisconsin on Grindstone Lake. I did that until, well, I'll get a little more detail on that. And then they would take their two-week vacation, and then they would come back up and join us. And so I spent all my summers with my grandmother, and all I did was fish. I mean, I'm just, like I said, obsessed with it. I knew when I was about 12 years old in there that I was going to make a living fishing. Many times people would come up and ask me, I can remember people, what are you going to do, Al? And I said boldly, confessing it boldly, I'm going to make a living in the fishing business. I knew that I knew that I knew somehow in every decision I made in my life led in that direction. And praise God, my mother, you got to understand, this was back, you know, many, many years ago. My mother fed that. Never did she tell me or say, you know, that's a silly thought, kid. How are you going to make, 12-year-old, how are you going to make a living in the fishing industry? You got to get a real job. You got to go to school. You got to go to high school, then college. And she didn't say that. She seen that passion there. So did my brother. But my mother blessed that. She bought me at my birthday, at Christmas, every gift I had, she bought me the best fishing equipment money could buy. The best rods, the best reels. Never said that that's a silly thought, kid. She just fed it. She knew it, and she fed it, and for that I'm forever grateful. She loved the fish, too, by the way. And by the way, you know what? She liked to catch perch, big jumbo perch, and eat them all. Everybody ate fish, then you kept all the fish you caught then. But she fed that. And again, my brother seen that. He would take me fishing all the time. I had the best equipment. I was exposed to really good fishing environments on good water on a regular basis. You know, this fed my life. When I was in high school, with my brother, our second year of high school, I got my first taste of business in the fishing world. We started a company called Linder Manufacturing. Now you got to picture this. This is a high school in downtown Chicago. I had 6 kids working for us. Every day after school and on Saturday, tying jibs and spinners. My brother would take them when we accumulated them all, and my parents blessed us with the basement uses. Do whatever you want with it. It was a manufacturing facility. We were cleaning calf tails and washing machines. I had 6 kids every day after school working with me. My brother would sell the jigs and spinners we made in between Chicago and Milwaukee. There's a whole bunch of lakes between there. He would take the stuff as we made it and go peddle it to all the independent stores who were in the area. We did that for 2 years. Then a local truck jobber, a major manufacturer, distributor, called. He says, you know, I'd like to buy this company that you're in. I'm working this area. Make a long story short, we sold it. I'm 18 years old. My brother had a third of that business. I had another third, and this guy that was distributing it, he had a third of it that was in the business. When we sold it, I still had a dream of fishing, and I wanted to go back to the Hayward area. Shortly after I graduated from high school, I never went to college. I moved back. I went up to Hayward to be a fishing guide. That was my dream, to be a fishing guide. Growing up there with my grandmother, and I learned a lot. I developed the resorts in the area. People knew that I could catch a lot of fish, and they would actually tell their guests to go hire this kid. He'll take you fishing. You'll go get smallmouth. You'll get walleyes, crappies. And there, so that seed was there. I spent 2 years up there. And I did some painting in between. All I did was work long enough to make enough money to put gas in there and just keep fishing, fishing, fishing. All I cared about. Then one day my mom called me and it says, you got a letter here in the mail from the government. Draft was on there. Many of you can relate to those opening words. Greetings. Greetings. Draft was on, early Vietnam was just starting to light up. I drove back from Hayward, I went back to our house, and I went in, got my physical, registered for the draft. Spent a few days at home, and I'm doing some soul searching. What am I to do with my life? 20 years old. You know, I said, you know, I just had a nudge. I called the draft board again. I said, can I have my draft number pushed up? Naturally, she said, son, we'll take care of you. Before I could blink, I was on a bus on my way to Fort Knox, Kentucky for basic training. From there, I went to Fort Gordon, Georgia for 3 months for advanced training to run a teletype rig. From there, I got shipped to Fort Sill, Oklahoma with the 1st Battalion, 40th Artillery, and we spent 6 months there, and we got deployed from there for to support the 3rd Marine Division as we moved up to DMZ. And so, first, shortly after I got in country, I mean, like, I think it was roughly 10 days, 2 weeks. It's the first time that I heard the words incoming. We're sitting, it wasn't a finished bunker. We're sandbagged probably 3.5, 4 feet high. You know, still feeling bad. I hear the word incoming here. First time under mortar and rocket attack. And this is where I realized, you know, this is real, man. That these people want to kill me. This is no longer playing war games. And I got 11 months of this ahead. When this come in, I jumped in. There was only two of us. One guy jumped on the other side in the corner, and I'm in this side. No cover on it yet. It isn't done. And this guy is cursing God. Now, I didn't know God. I really didn't. I was raised in, I mean, truly knew God. It was distant. My God was fishing. But I knew that I knew that I knew. This was the first time in my life I cried out to God, acknowledged in my life, and asked for help. First time I acknowledged, I was 20 years old, where I meant what I said when I said it. Like, I don't want to be here, Lord. And this guy, he's the one yelling these cursing. It's not me. I don't want to be a victim of circumstances. Get me out of here, Lord. Anything. Just protect me. In a simple way, that's what I said. But it was truly the first time that I acknowledged God in my life, a part of my life, and reached out to him. During that 11-month period that we were there, my brother and I, mainly my brother, our dream when I got back out was to buy a small resort, you know, 3, 4, 5 cabins, have a bait shop, a little tackle store, and guide for the rest of our life. That was the dream we had. While I was gone, he traveled through Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. We ended up picking Minnesota. And ironically, there were 3 cities. One of them was Alex, one of them was Brainerd, and one of them was Grand Rapids. We were down to those 3 after 3 states. Where do we settle? Where do we call home? We ended up in Brainerd. And one of the decisions was, you looked at the area, you seen all of these lakes around, and I said, we could fish here the rest of our life and never be on all this water. This was part of the dream. We ended up picking Brainerd, and praise God, the Lord blessed us beyond belief. But we moved there. We started a guide service immediately. And my brother, I do not remember why he started the name. He called it Lindy's Guide Service. And we pictured all it, made all of these brochures and ran them around through all the bait shops and resorts in the area. And he came up with the idea of the silly sinker. We were catching a lot of fish on an egg sinker. You know, dragging a piece of line with a nightcrawler on it. Yeah, lots of fish biting on it. We learned that this thing catch a lot of fish. Problem was, we're all snagging in bottom with everything. So one winter, he's dinking around with the sinker, and he's kind of a creative guy. So he's making a plaster mold, doing shapes of different things, and he come up with that walking sinker. And the guides in the area, we poured a bunch of them in the winter months, and when we take a guide party out, not only us, but other guides in the area, we gave them a bunch of the sinkers. And we tie that sinker on, you put it on 3 or 4 foot snell, and you put a night crawler on the end of it, and you go drag around the lake, and you caught fish like nobody ever seen before for a long time. And pretty soon they would take pictures of these fish, the local, which was Nisswa Bait Shop, they'd take pictures of all these stringers of fish, put them in a newspaper and a sports page, and on the bottom they would put they would ask you what you caught the fish on, the people, and they would say Lindy's Rig. They named it Lindy's Rig. And that's how you would see it in all these pictures. Well, a local jobber, a truck jobber in from St. Cloud that would service that area, he came by one day, he said, man, I'm getting so many people. What is this Lindy's Rig? He says, can't you guys take that sinker, put it in some kind of package or something where we could sell it? People are asking me for this thing. Lo and behold, we come up with a little way to wrap line, take the sink, put the whole thing together. We sold like 800, and then the next year it was 8,000. Then it was 80,000. Then it was 800,000. And it just, the business just unbelievably skyrocketed. During this period of time, Rayovac decided it was going to enter the sport fishing industry, Rayovac Corporation. They figured it was a good growth opportunity for them. They went around the industry at one of our industry shows, and they're handing out business cards, talking to everybody. Yeah, we're interested in buying some companies. We want to get in the sport fishing industry. It looks like a good opportunity for Rayovac. Well, we followed up with them like many other people did, and 6 months later, we sold the business to Rayovac. It was so that we had a contract at that point in time. We sold it to them. We had a 2-year work contract. We did the first television shows there. I got involved in television, freelance writing, for which was Fishing Facts magazine at the time. Started to do sport shows and promotions, knocking on doors, just promoting Lindy Tackle Company. Had this 2-year work contract, and during this window of time at Rayovac, the first year that we sold, Rayovac's headquarters were in Madison, Wisconsin. And we got invited down that they had an annual meeting with all of the different brands that Rayovac owned. And my brother Ron, my partner Nick Adams, and I, we were there with our wives at a table, and we were introduced to all of the different corporate entities. There is one of their new acquisitions in a tackle business. This is one of the companies we bought, la, la, la. And this was a big deal. That night, sitting in Madison, Wisconsin, at the top of the hotel, there was a big balcony, and it was overlooking the Chain of Lakes in Madison. Beautiful, beautiful Chain of Lakes. Nice, warm August evening. I'm up there with my wife. All the festivity was done. We're sitting at the end of the deck, and she says, well, what do you think, honey? We're introduced as one of the players in the great Rayovac Corporation. I'm an executive, and I don't even know what an executive is. and, and, And I said, honey, I knew that I knew, and I'll never forget because I could see myself sitting when she said this to me, I don't belong here. I knew that I knew that I knew. My spirit man tugged at my, I don't belong in this environment. I knew that I knew I didn't belong there. Things on the outside naturally looked great. You know, everything looked great. But just had a tug, and I didn't even know the Lord. But I just told her, I don't belong here. This isn't my world. It isn't our world. It isn't my brother's world. And we went bad, bad. Business went fine. Our two-year work contract was done. We started to do television and those, you know, magazines for writing promotion. Really got into the media end of the business and fell in love with it. Way more fun than manufacturing end. So after our two-year work contract, we said we got this idea. We want to start another business in our media end of it. And that's where In Fisherman Communications Network was birthed. And that's where we started it. It was 1975. We had an idea from those 2 years talking to people and promoting. People kept saying that you'd get done doing a seminar or something. You'd be talking about catching fish, doing this early electronic structure fishing concept was just being birthed. People would come up and say to you, hey, you got anything in print? Any handout brochures or anything that talks about what you're talking about? No, we didn't. But that seed was planted. There was something there in that two-year run as we traveled around. And we decided we're going to start a magazine. Knew absolutely nothing about publishing. Zip. Zero. Nothing. Not a thing about it. If I knew what I knew now, I would have never done it. The odds are astronomical that you can't succeed. It was at this point in our life, in our family's lives, that I started to hear from Christians. The door started to open a little bit. I came back from a tournament. I was fishing. The tournament scene was just started. At that point in time, I fished the second BASS tournament there ever was. I fished a tour for a number of years, fished three Bassmaster Classics, won two BASS tournaments. And there, so I was on a roll, the only Yankee down there doing that. So I was already making a name, and I knew how to catch fish really good. And at that point in time, the magazine was just starting with, that was a transition from Lindy to the magazine. And my brother, and this is no family secret, you can hear his testimony, he had a battle with alcohol all his life. Yet he had a tug on his heart where I was not interested in the things of God at all. He was always drawn, always searching, always looking, always looking. There was a tug on his heart, a tug on his heart. Yet he had a battle with booze. I came back from a tournament, BASS tournament, and I couldn't wait to talk to him and my sister-in-law about at this point time our business. In Fisherman was already just starting. I came back from this bass tournament, and I couldn't wait to go and talk to them about the tournament, share the results. I did pretty good, and it was the seventh or eighth in a good showing. And he wanted to hold the update. And then my sister-in-law called that night, and she said, hey, you want to go to Crosby with us? There's an evangelist there. The guy's name is Lowell Lundstrom. And there's some kind of, he's doing some kind of outreach. I believe now, to me, evangelist was like a foreigner. I don't, you got to understand, as silly as it sounds, I knew nothing about the things of God. Nothing. Yet my brother was always searching. They says, why don't you guys come with us? So we just 14 miles from our house. Jump in a car with him. We go over there, and it's a music ministry, you know, and it's going. I'm sitting in the bleachers with my brother. It's me, my wife, my brother, and my sister-in-law. After it's all kind of done, I'm waiting to go across the street to the Dairy Queen and talk to him about what is happening. Did this invitation, and just all of a sudden, as silly as it's, I don't know really what's happening. What's happening around? I turn around and I look and I see my brother get up,
And my sister-in-law grabbed his hands, and I seen tears in his eyes. He walked off the stage, went back down. There was people that prayed with him, laid hands on him. I mean, it took, I don't know, a half hour or so. I'm sitting outside waiting, and they came back in. The 14-mile drive, it was like dead silence in the car. Over the next 6 months, I seen their life change drastically, both of them. Both of them. From that day on, I never seen him drink again. And I seen a warmth in his relationship with his wife that I never seen before. I seen a caring father that I never seen before. I seen a new man. So, something's happening here. Yeah, you know. In the meantime, my sister-in-law talks to my wife and says, there's a Christian school. Again, I don't even know what a Christian school was. There's a Christian school in our town. I want to take our kids and send them to this Christian school. My sister-in-law did that with her children. She ought to take Sean and Troy. Well, Troy was too young to go, but Sean wasn't. So she talked to me about it. My first thought was, I wonder how much this is going to cost me. True. First thought that cried, I wonder what this is going to cost me. I say, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, you know, in back of my mind, yeah, it's okay. You know, so she starts going to the Wednesday services that are going on at the church, and one thing leads to another, and I'm sitting home reading the Fishing Magazine one afternoon in summer, and I can still look at her now. She comes bouncing up the stairs, comes in, a big smile on her face, and she comes up to me and says, Al, guess what? What's up? I asked Jesus to be Lord of my life tonight. You know, I kind of looked at her a little bit, you know, pat her on the butt. You know, I got a pretty good thing going here. I like this deal. I don't know what this is going to upset my lifestyle a whole lot. Yeah. And we got a pretty good life here. We're making some money. Things are rolling, man. I said, what is this? What's going to happen here? What does this all mean? So, this is kind of going through my mind, yet at the same time, deep in my heart, I thought, you know, that's a pretty good deal for Mary and the kids to go to church as long as they don't bug me. I knew something should, this will be, I have no problem with that. And well, then next step, she comes back after a while, she says, honey, I want to pray with the kids at night before they go to bed. Okay. So, my youngest son, he was 4.5 years old at the time. We'd go in his room, he'd lay in bed, and it'd be me, Mary, and Sean, my oldest son. And Mary'd pray, Sean would pray, Troy would pray. When it would get to me, and I would say Dad prays later when he's alone with God. Gotta understand, I didn't know how to pray. Dad'll pray later when he's alone with God. So this went on for a series of times. When I was back in town off the road, you know, it was a routine in the house. And one night, we finished praying. I was going to get up, go downstairs, and my 4.5-year-old son says, Dad, will you lay down and cuddle with me? So I lay down with him. His head is on my shoulder. He whispers quietly, whispers in my ear. He says, Dad, Mom isn't here. Sean isn't here. It's just you and I. Can I hear you pray, how you pray to God when you're alone with him? It broke my heart. I got up and I went into the bathroom and I cried. I didn't know how to pray with my 4.5-year-old son. 2 days later, I finished doing a Trilene commercial for Trilene Fishing Line. I'm working on a boat in our driveway, and a local pastor that lives in the neighborhood who loved the fish. And I've been hearing the gospel. I've been hearing from this guy. I've been on a prayer list for a zillion people in Brainerd. And their pastor lived, you know, he had to come by our house every day. Like I said, whenever he'd see me, he'd pull back in, how's the fishing going, da-da-da. And sure as you can expect, he would always lead to Jesus. Always. Yeah, you know, so I'm sitting in here looking here. I see the car come in. There's nowhere to run. I can't hide. He sees me. I know what's going to happen. He comes rolling in. Talked about the fish, talked about the commercial. I had a peace that came over me that night. I'm sitting there. I knew I had heard the gospel for probably 2 years at least or more in many environments and never was moved. That night, I knew that I knew that I knew. I couldn't wait for him to finish. I'm thinking in my mind, let's get to this Jesus deal. I'm ready, man. I'm ready. And I went back in. My wife gave us some lemonade. It was 9:15 that night. I bent my knee and asked Jesus to be Lord of my life. How do I know it was 9:15? We had a grandfather clock in the house. And when I got off my knees, the clock went bing, 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 bing. My wife and I know that that is a confirmation from God. It is not a coincidence. Things started to change like wildfire. I got into this book. And things that didn't make sense to me before was like a whole new world. 37 years old. And for the first time in my life, God got out of my head into my heart at 37. First time in my life, I began to understand the price that Jesus paid on a cross for me. First time in my life at 37 years old that I began to understand who the Holy Spirit is and His purpose in my life. 37. Been successful in business. There's a lot going. All of a sudden, this was a whole new revelation to me. I couldn't put it down. Everything became alive. There was a scripture that was in Proverbs 16:3. When I read it, it said, commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. That became so real to me when I read it. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. It burned in my heart. It became immediately real. I talked to my wife, my brother, and my sister-in-law. We went to our corporate building. We laid hands on our offices. We prayed on that office and dedicated our business to the Lord. My brother took the Christian ichthus, put a little cross on it, and we put it right at the end of everything that was in Fisherman Communications corporate logo. Everything. Just put that little ichthus at the end of it with the cross on it. Just a small statement glorifying God in our business. That was done. I made that commitment short. That was in June. That fall, we get an insertion order in Fisherman Magazine for an ad. It was the December-January issue, like you'd be getting now. You would have got the same issue at that point, December-January issue. The guys in the ad department were ecstatic. They come in. The ad was so tasteful. And now what I'm going to share with you here is what the Lord told me. Not for everybody, but the Lord talks to you each different reasons for different parts in your life. I'm sharing you what I know that I had to do and how I responded to it. The ad was a beautiful full-page ad, big old Christmas tree. In the bottom of the Christmas tree was a whole bunch of presents. In the bottom right-hand corner, wrapped in a velvet bottle, was a bottle of black velvet booze. Tasteful ad, beautiful ad. You know, it didn't say anything. Christmas tree, all the presents, and a bottle of black velvet booze. I looked at this thing. My guys were ecstatic. We're breaking. This is a non-endemic, and you break the alcohol tobacco industry, and you are recognized in this industry. The money is going to start rolling in, baby. You're breaking. They were thrilled. I had a check in the spirit. Little check. Wasn't comfortable with it. Went back, talked to my wife. She said, let's go talk to Ron and Dolores. Went to them, sat down, showed it to them. They felt the same way. We prayed over it. Went back in the next day. I brought the advertising guys in and made an announcement to our entire office staff, which was 60 people with everything but the ad time. I says, you know, we're a family-run business. we're going to make a corporate decision from here on out. We're never going to take alcohol or tobacco ads. We're never going to do this. Now, the guys in the ad department, they're seeing their commission checks flying away, baby. 2 days later, the head comes into my office, and he says, Al, I got to talk to you. You know, they're not done priming my pump, man. Got to talk to you. I said, close the door. He says, you're a hypocrite. I said, what do you mean I'm a hypocrite? He says, you drink and Ron smokes. How can you make a statement like that? That was the last time I ever had a drink in my life. I told him, nothing changes. Those words, hypocrite, burned into my heart. I said, never, it's the words hypocrite hit me so deep. And it was last time, I never had a problem with alcohol like my brother did. But I would, so, you know, I would drink. But from that day on, never had a drink ever again. It meant that much to me, those words hypocrite. It's burned. And after that happened, and we made that decision and went to the industry with it, for the next 15 years, everything we touched turned to gold. I know that God honored that decision and blessed that business beyond my wildest expectations. He honored that decision. I know. That business blew up like everything. Everything we turned. Tournaments, magazines, books, radio thing, you name it, everything was hugely successful. And we went on about a 15-year run. Then I had we had a company knock on our door, and like in any business, if you're successful, that you have people come maybe knocking on your door for your industry. In that 25-year run, we had like 7 different suitors. You know, and you'd be silly not to take a, you know, somebody knocks on your door. We never were up for sale, never. But somebody knocks on your door, you're not going to say, I don't want to listen. Yeah, you know, you'd be silly to do that. So you listen, and we just turned away 6 of them. The 7th one was a little different. My wife had just had breast cancer, and I was doing some soul searching. I was working hard. I was on the road constantly doing a lot of things. Been many years in the business, and I'm just kind of reevaluating my life. And I get this insertion order. This guy called. First it was telephone call. I'm from New York. I'm on my way to Los Angeles. We're in the media business. Yeah, you know, we're looking at your business. You're just wondering if you might be interested in selling it. We're looking at the outdoor categories. So I'm going to a sports show. I'm driving down to a sports show. I said, I'll meet you at the airport in Minneapolis. He's going east, and I'm going south. We met at the airport. We went and had a cup of coffee, chatted a little bit. And in that next 12 months, you know, he'd request something. I'd send something back, and we kind of dinked around. No real commitment. You know, but every month he'd ask something else. And after about a year, I get a registered letter in the mail. And it's from the company in New York, and basically what it said, if we come in and do the due diligence on your business, and it is indeed everything you sent us and proves to be what it is, we'd be willing to buy your business for this amount of money. Now, a kid growing up on streets of Chicago, I had to count my fingers. Is this real? You know, I never seen so much money in my life. That's wow. So I sit down, I talk, the business is successful, everything's going fine. I talked to my brother and my sister-in-law. I remember Ron's 10 years my senior. They said, you want to sell this? You can make the decision. And they're going to put the golden handcuffs on you, and you're going to be here with the work contracts to make it happen. I'm out of here, meeting my brother. He said, business is fine. You guys, whatever you want to do, we don't care. Thanks a lot, guys. I got to make the call on this thing. And so we prayed on it, made the decision. Everything kind of worked out, and we sold it. I had a 4-year non-compete. in that period of time. I had a 4-year non-compete, which is typical. And then I had a 2-year work contract, which was separate from the non-compete, obviously. The 2-year work contract was to reorganize the entire management team and restructure it to report to their process in New York. And basically in 2 years, work yourself out of a job, get out of here, see you, go fish, get out of here, we don't want to see you no more. And that was what my job was. Then I signed 1 year. After that, they said, we need you for 1 more year. We want you to just do television and 4 DVDs. DVDs were a big deal at that time. Then 4 DVDs. So I said, did that. Then I had the 4th year that nothing was happening. And I'm searching, talking to the Lord, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? What's going to happen? And I'm not getting any answer. And I've been praying for a long time. Then 1 February, and a lot of my prayer time is downstairs in my house. I'm running on a running machine, talking to the Lord. That's a routine for me. And I get a strong tug. Basically, what he said, I want you to get back in the TV business, but I want you to close with a scripture on the impact that I've had in your life and something that is uplifting and positive, referring to the Bible and the truth and power of God's Word in every single closing of that show from here on out. I said, wow, that's quite a challenge, Lord. I jumped on, talked to my wife, jumped on a plane, went down, seen my brother and sister-in-law, went over it with them. My sister-in-law's words, here we go again. So, back at Linder Media Production was started by my nephews with a big, they had a big contract for Rapala and they were working on a big project. Sat down with my nephews. We brought and started Angling Edge, Fishing Edge, where we glorified the Lord. The logo shows a strong emphasis on the Word of God in everything that we're doing. That was like 12, 13 years ago. To make a long story short, this year, is the busiest year we ever had. A lot of people find this hard to believe. We are a production business. This year we produced 5 television shows. 5. We shot 65 half-hour fishing shows in 7 months. That's unbelievable. 65 original, complete different fishing shows with different subject matter. And there's 65 of them in 7 months. That's the hand of God. Because naturally speaking, this don't happen. We never missed a beat on any of the shows. That's Angling Edge, Fishing Edge, Lund, the Ultimate Fishing Experience for Lund Boats. We produced that show. Angling Buzz, we do the whole show there. And a new show that the province of Ontario, is called the Ontario Experience. Canadian Tourism got to us. We want you to produce a travel show on what is happening all over Ontario. Those are the 5 shows we produced this season. An unbelievable amount of work. The Lord has blessed us beyond my wildest expectations. And like I said, the adventure of life, the gift of life, and the opportunities laid before us are incredible. Wrapping down, I know we got a lot of places to go. I want to take a few minutes and I want to talk about this book. I know that I know in my life, I believe totally, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. I believe it is important today, as it always has been, will be tomorrow. I especially believe the very end of it, where it says, do not add to this book, and don't take anything away from it. All you have to know to live a successful life here and gain eternity is in the pages of this book. No adding, no subtracting. I've given you what you have to know to overcome any challenges, anything, and gain eternity through it with untold promises. The foundation of the Christian faith is in the Bible, and it's all built around Jesus. All about Jesus. You know, people have asked me so many times. I go through generally, I go through one Bible a year. And for me, that's part of what I do. And studied it. Other than fishing and fishing industry, the Word of God is my life. I study it and study it and study it and read anything that talks about the Word of God. To simplify it, when I talk to people, say, you know, what does this mean? It's so I don't understand it. Yeah, you know, I'll give you the answer to it. From my perspective, it's God telling you how much He loves you, cares about you, wants to spend eternity with you. That's why He sent His Son Jesus to die for your sins, rose again, and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. A confession of faith in Him as your Lord and Savior opens up the gates of heaven, and there is no other way to do it, period. That's what the beginning of Genesis is to the end of Revelation. You want to capsulize what the whole story is? That's it. That's it. It is that simple. God loves you, cares about you, and wants the best for you, wants to spend eternity with you. And Jesus is the answer. Now, there is no question that there was a man named Jesus that walked this earth and did things that no other man ever did, historically documented. No question. The question for mankind is He who He says He is? That's the question you got to ask yourself. Is Jesus who He says He is? If the answer to that is yes, the next question is, what is His teachings and can you follow it? One of the five words, He's very explicit in a lot. You read Jesus' words, and I happen to like the New King James Version myself out of the different Bibles. But five of those powerful words, you must be born again. Not that this is a good idea. I would suggest you give this some consideration. When Jesus said the word must, you must be born again, it deserves some attention. You must be born again. I know those words somehow complicate. People just get a little, you know, the thief can trick your thinking and make something out of this that isn't there. But that born again experience is getting on your knees, repenting, saying, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. Everybody has sinned. The word is clear on that. And then I got a question for you. I'm going to ask, don't raise your hand, please. Many people, I'm not, sin, I live a good life. I help a lot of people. I take a lot. Is there anything in your life, you soul search because it's between you and God. Is there anything in your life that you would really not like to see on the front page of your newspaper tomorrow morning? You know it. God knows it. Your spouse, your helpmate, nobody else knows it. Between you and God. You know what I'm talking about. That's sin. I can guarantee you, whatever it is that you're thinking about, it's under the heading of sin. It could be greed, pride, power, lust. The list goes on and on and on and on. Repent. That word repent, the salvation prayer, is simple. Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. You are repent. That word repent is key. I ask you to come into my heart. I want to turn my life over to you. Guide me from this day forward. With the help of your Holy Spirit, I'll serve you. Thank you for saving me, Lord. Any version of what I just said is the salvation prayer. But the key word is repent. It isn't the words. The words got to be back from here. You got to want to be sorry. You got to mean it when you say it. It takes this much faith. A little bit. I don't need to understand all of it, but Lord, I want in. And you're going to become, you're going to see things that you've never seen before. Ever. I want to encourage you, if you've never asked Jesus to be Lord of your life, before you go to sleep tonight, get on your knees. You could do it in your car going to work. You could do it at home tonight before you go to bed. And the simplicity of the gospel is what I just shared with you. And it is life-changing. that will open up. It gives meaning to this book like you've never seen before. And I heard somebody say something like 7,000 promises are in here. 7,000 promises. After Jesus becomes Lord of your life, you have a right to find out what those promises are and come to the Lord with requests and needs. It opens up the whole rest of the book. Everything starts to have real, real, real meaning after that. You know, I'm running a little bit late, but I talked to powers to be here, and earlier this week, before I let you all go, and I was praying, Lord, what direction do you want me to take here? Where do you want me to go with this thing? And one word kept coming up, and coming up in my heart. That word was bold. 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 What I'd like to do before we leave, and those of you that have to leave, you have to be, that word bold isn't for me. That word bold is for you. Lord isn't laying that bold on my heart. He's laying that on my heart to share with you. Bold. What I'd like to do is if you're touched, you feel a tugging at your heart, I'm going to stand right over here. When we get done and they release everybody, those of you that have a tugging, I'd like to be able to, if you come up here, I want to lay a hand on your shoulder. All I want to do is go like this. You stand up and I want to lay a hand on your shoulder and say the word bold. 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 And just touch your shoulder. You know if I'm talking to you. If you're a woman, get over there. If you're a man, get over here. This is going to take no time. I just want to touch you and say that word bold. And you're going to see what it's going to do. You will never forget this day. You will never forget those words. And your life will never be the same again. You're a shy Christian. You're shy about the word of God. That's going away. You're never going to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Bold. I am talking to some people here. I'm talking to you, a number of you. Those of you that have to leave, fine. If you're a woman, I'd like you over there. I asked one of the ladies or a couple of the ladies, put your hand on your shoulder. I'm going to put my hand on top of her hand for obvious reasons in the world we live in today. And so if you're a woman, I'd like you there. If you're a man, over here. That's all I want to do. It's on my heart. I know I'm speaking to somebody. Inner, more than somebody. One word bold is going to change your life. I thank you for the opportunity to be here. God bless. Have a great season. Merry Christmas.
Thank you, people, for coming. I've heard the statistic that in the month of December, 60 to 80% is the likelihood people are more inclined to hear the word of Jesus. In the month of December, 60 to 80% more likely. So Al's promise and his challenge to us is to be bold. Thank you all for coming, and Merry Christmas.